Last night, the invitation, the dinner, how different he'd been as we spent hours, hours, talking. Only it had just been smoke and mirrors. And then I remembered what he'd said before we'd left the office. When I'm trying to distract a woman, she won't know it. Oh, my God. You're a monster. Was any of it true? All that shit you said about yourself, your brothers, anything? Did you sit there and lie the entire time? And how much further was he willing to go? Should I be thanking him for not sleeping with me? Nice to know he stopped short of being a complete whore. Everything I told you last night was the truth. His words razor-sharp as he maintained his composure, his usual smile missing in action. I told you I didn't lie. You can go around and around as much as you want, Roman, but you sure as hell weren't honest. That was the lawyer in him, the argument prepared, ready to prove that while he'd been a sorry excuse for a man, he hadn't lied. Wow, how proud he must be of himself.
I did what needed to be done.
No, you stacked the deck. My palm itched to slap his stupid, beautiful face as my throat constricted. You kissed me. I wanted to cry, to scream, to rage, but I refused to give him the satisfaction. It was bad enough he'd played on my emotions and used me. I wouldn't allow him to enjoy the show as well. He probably thought the whole thing was hilarious, laughed about it on his way home, about how easy I'd been. I had been a fool to trust him.
You kissed me back,
he reminded me, making me hate him even more.
And you liked it.
That was my limit, feeling my arms that had been idle by my side reach up and physically push him away. It wasn't anywhere close to being satisfying, my need for violence at an unparalleled level as I grabbed my handbag and phone and headed to the door. Prepare your own damn motion, I called out over my shoulder, and then you can go to hell. I didn't care that I was running away, or that Daniel had expected me to help Roman. Getting out of that room and away from him was the only thing I could think about. Striding with purpose down the hall, I put distance between us, and for once, he did the smart thing and didn't follow me. I didn't stop walking until I got to the ladies' room, pushing open the door to the stall and threw up into the toilet bowl. The entire evening played over and over in my head, every single word now needing to be dissected. For once, I had let my guard down, and he didn't only use it against me professionally, but took advantage of me too. I was going to be sick again. Unable to stop it, I heaved again into the toilet, tears stinging my eyes as my gut twisted. It wasn't my finest moment, but I had managed to just get the door closed behind me before I vomited. At least I was able to save myself from further embarrassment. It's not like the day needed to get any worse than it already was. Hello? Great, I'd spoken too soon. Hey, I called to the mysterious voice beyond the stall. I hoped whoever it was just needed a tampon or something so they could leave me to my misery. I'm sorry, I heard you. Are you sick, too? There was a rustling of paper and then a flush. I haven't stopped all morning. Pretty sure it's the stomach flu. Yeah, must be going around. I winced, wondering what the etiquette was for bathroom chit-chat. You should probably go home. I think... She didn't get to finish, the rest of the sentence getting lost in some serious retching. It sounded like a horror movie in there. She definitely needed to go home. I finished up in my stall, flushing before heading out to the basin to wash my hands, waiting for her to stop. Are you okay? I tentatively asked, unsure if I was making it worse by being there. Still, leaving her wouldn't be right either, and unlike some people, i.e. the spawn of Satan I'd left in the boardroom, I had a heart. Ugh, she groaned from behind the door. I think I'm dying. If what I had witnessed had been going on the whole morning, she sounded like she was too. Well, if nothing else, the woman puking out her eyeballs had stopped me from worrying about myself for a few minutes. There was a positive. What's your name?
Charlotte. I'm one of the new paralegals.
Okay, Charlotte. You think you can make it back to your desk and get your things? I'm going to help get you home.
As much as I hated to admit it, my motives weren't purely altruistic, and I would deal with whatever bad karma I attracted because of that. But if the universe had seemed fit to give me an excuse to get out of work today and not deal with a man I wanted to disembowel, then I was going to take it.
I can't leave, she groaned, her voice hiccuping. I'm supposed to be helping Roman Pierce with a case today.
Cue my lack of surprise that he was the common denominator to both the women in the bathroom puking. There are other paralegals who can help Roman. I was almost positive there was a line of them willing to volunteer. Why don't you go get your things and we'll go talk to Roman together? Then we'll get you home. The door opened. A frail-looking redhead whose skin was the color of ash peered back at me.
You would do that for me?
Of course. And maybe if we got lucky, she would throw up in his lap and ruin his fancy suit. There was no harm in hoping. I'm Lauren, by the way.
I know.
Her eyes dipped down, tugging at her skirt.
We spoke on the phone 2 days ago, and I recognized your voice. Oh, wait.
Her hand shot to her mouth.
That sounded creepy. I probably shouldn't have said that.
It's fine. I dismissed her with a wave. I work with Roman Pierce. I'm used to creepy. She laughed, clutching her stomach as she moved to the basin to clean herself up. Her black eyeliner had smudged, enhancing the Day of the Dead makeover she had going on. But with the help of some wadded-up paper towel, she was able to make herself look presentable.
Are you sure this is okay?
She hesitated at the door.
I don't want you to get into any trouble.
I'm not going to get into any trouble. Besides, I think I have a mild case of it too, so it's probably for the best we both go home. Plus, one day of working remotely wasn't going to be a problem. Anything Daniel needed done, I could manage on my laptop connected to the Wi-Fi at home. Not to mention the Class A felony it would help avoid. Me being away from Roman seemed like the smartest idea. Her eyes brightened, taking comfort in my reassurance as she nodded.
Yes, mine started slow, and then it got really bad.
Having agreed we were both suffering the stomach flu and needed to go home, I left her to go get her things before meeting her back in the hall. She wasn't looking too hot, with the prospect of her vomiting again looking more likely by the minute. I tried to remind myself that would be a bad thing.
Harper.
I heard his voice from behind me. Oh, what do you know, it's Mr. Evil Incarnate himself. God, I hated him. Roman? I turned, straightening my shoulders as I shelved the embarrassment and hurt and concentrated on the anger. It seems Charlotte and I have been struck down with the stomach flu. I need to take a sick day. He looked at us both with suspicion, his blue eyes flicking to Charlotte and then back to me.
You seemed fine a few minutes ago.
It came on suddenly. As hard as it was, I met his eyes. I must have caught some nasty bug. I hear there's a hideous strain going around. His eyebrow rose and his lips thinned.
Is that so?
It's true, Mr. Pierce.
Charlotte nodded beside me. At first, I felt a little tired and hot, but it got a whole lot worse very quickly. She was pale, her hand flying to her mouth as her eyes filled with fear.
Oh, no.
Oh, no was right. She dashed into the closest office, grabbing a waste paper basket and giving Roman visual evidence of our sudden and horrendous condition. If she'd been just 3 seconds slower, the display would have been more personal than he probably would have liked. Such a shame.
What the hell is going on out here?
Daniel Moss stormed from his office, meeting us in the hall. Stomach flu. I grabbed at my gut, doing my best to make myself look ill. Not that it was hard when Roman was in the room. Both of us.
Well, for God's sake, get out of the office before we have an epidemic.
He took a step back, his hand covering his mouth like a mask.
We'll call you if we need you. Charlotte, I'll let your supervisor know. Do you need me to call a cab?
It's fine. I have my car, I volunteered. I can take Charlotte home, too.
Good.
He nodded, Charlotte puking again into the waste paper basket. We should go. I pushed her toward the elevator, our newly acquired office accessory coming with us. I'll email from home.
Daniel kept his hand up at his mouth while Roman's eyes narrowed. I didn't care if he believed me or not. He'd have to find someone else to screw over today. I needed distance, time away from him and the situation to work out what I did next. The metal doors of the elevator closed behind us as Charlotte clutched the waste paper basket like a life preserver. She might have momentarily settled as we descended to the undercover garage, but I wasn't sure how long our reprieve was going to be. I'm not far, I pointed to my silver Mazda parked two rows away. You want me to take you to an emergency room?
No, just home, please.
Her voice reedy as she followed me to my car. We both hopped in, and after Charlotte had given me her address, thankfully not too far away, she fell asleep in the passenger seat. It meant there was no more puking, but unfortunately left me alone with my thoughts. How could he? The single question swirled in my mind as I pulled up to Charlotte's house. She still lived with her folks, so at least I wouldn't have to worry about her dying in her sleep. The duty of care handed over to her mom, who met us at the door. And with my good deed done for the day, I drove to my apartment where I needed to regroup and reevaluate. I might not have been as physically ill as poor Charlotte, but psychologically I wasn't doing too hot. At work, I expected him to do his worst, not outright undermine me, but we'd always pushed each other to the limits. In a sick, twisted way, I think it made us better attorneys. But what he'd done had crossed the line. He'd made it personal. And I was never going to forgive him. Feeling drained and confused, I pulled off my work clothes and changed into my sleep shorts and an old t-shirt. I brushed my teeth, cleaned off my makeup, and collapsed onto my couch. I needed revenge. While it wouldn't change what he'd done, it would make me feel better. Show him he couldn't treat people like disposable commodities, and there were consequences. It was too much to hope he'd turn into a decent person, but I wanted him to feel the way he made me feel. Stupid. Embarrassed. Used. One way or another, he was going down, and I was just the woman to do it. Chapter 9 It seemed plans of revenge made you sleepy. Either that, or it was the pint of chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream I ate to drown my sorrows. We were out of wine, so I had to improvise. So, when I woke up in the dark with strange hands touching me, I wasn't exactly sure if it was calorie-induced hallucinations, or I was being assaulted. Given my track record for shitty things happening, I wasn't taking a chance either way. What the hell? My sister deflected my flying fist of fury, grabbing my hands and restraining me. It's me, Morgan? Shit, I'm sorry. My eyes slowly adjusted to the light. What time is it? Morgan reached across to the lamp on the end table and turned it on. Just after 9? I had to work a double. She was still in her scrubs. I saw you passed out on the couch and got worried. There's a stomach flu going around. We were hammered in the ER. Funny that she'd mentioned that. Yeah, I came home from work early today, but I'm not sick.
That was questionable.
I mean, my body isn't sick. Other parts of me? Well, let's just say I need to scrub the search history on my laptop in case it's ever seized. She folded her arms across her chest, taking a seat beside me on the couch. You want to tell me what's going on? I don't want to make you an accessory. Lo, come on, she tugged on my arm. Firstly, if you're going to kill someone and make it look like natural causes, you don't need Google. That's what I'm here for. I'm your sister, and that blood oath we took when you were 6 and I was 9 pretty much guarantees I can be counted on to help you dispose of a body or two. I laughed, shifting into a sitting position. I'm not sure what the statute is on blood oaths in California. I'm going to have to look that up. Secondly, she ignored me, continuing. If this has to do with that guy you work with and hate, you need to talk to the partners. Ugh. I let my head fall on the back of the couch. I was so, so stupid. While I hated reliving it all again, I couldn't lie to my sister either. So, I started to recount the whole diabolical story, even if hearing it out loud made me feel even more stupid.
He did what? Her eyes got huge as her mouth dropped open. He kissed you so you wouldn't read your emails? Lo, last time I checked, that was classified as sexual harassment. You need to call your boss, now. She grabbed my cell from the coffee table and waved it in front of me. He won't get away with this.
Well, God damn it. As much as I hated to admit it, it hadn't been sexual harassment.
Inappropriate? Sure. Unethical? Possibly. Dodgy as hell? Very much so.
But as terrible as it sounded, I had wanted that kiss. At least, I did when I didn't know he was being a fraud. And it had been, amazing.
I kissed him back. I grabbed him and kissed him and asked to go back to his place. I buried my head in my hands, like a desperate moron. He was the one who turned me down.
You kissed him? She looked at me as if I was insane.
A man who you swore you wouldn't pee on if he was on fire, that's the guy you kissed.
I understood the confusion, because if yesterday morning you had told me that by the end of the day I would have been lip-locked with Roman Pierce and propositioning him in a parking lot, I'd have had your ass committed.
But things changed.
He changed. Except he didn't. To be fair, he is probably into some weird peeing fantasy, so even though I have kissed him, I still definitely would not pee on him, even if he was on fire.
And did you miss the part where I told you he charmed me? I should have brought some of the food home for you to take to the lab for a sample. He probably laced it with something.
That would explain a lot, actually.
So, she shifted in her seat. He charmed you, you guys kissed, and then he blindsided you, and because of this, he convinced the client to go his way.
Yes, I nodded, her grasp on the situation commendable considering I'd had to be sketchy with details regarding the case, client-attorney privilege and all that. Slowly, the smile spread across her face.
Do we know where the loser lives?
Nope, but if I did, I would show up on his doorstep and... I tried to think of something horrible. Kicking him in the balls was the front-runner, if not slightly predictably.
Morgan, are there any kind of drugs I can get over the counter which cause erectile dysfunction?
Nothing like a case of limp dick to knock him down a peg or two. Of course, I knew what I was suggesting was highly illegal, but it made me feel better to fantasize. And right now, it was all about making me feel better.
Let's not drug anyone right now, she laughed. But just know if it comes to it, I have a list as long as my arm that would do the job nicely.
Excellent. My first real smile of the day made its appearance. Why don't you get a shower and get out of your scrubs and I'll order us some late-night dinner?
That sounds like heaven.
Morgan sighed as she lifted herself off the couch.
Get Italian. I'm craving carbs.
As Morgan headed to the bathroom, I grabbed the phone and ordered pasta from Gino's. I may have over-ordered, risking sending us both into a carb coma, but that was the chance I was going to take. While I waited for the food to arrive, I scanned my bursting-at-the-seams inbox and voicemail, both of which I had ignored since I left the office. Roman, a.k.a. Public Enemy Number One, had called, texted, and emailed, covering all forms of communication just short of sending a raven. Too bad none of them would be getting a response. Instead, I checked on Charlotte. She was better, but out of action for a few more days. Daniel, he assured me everything was under control and not to come back until I was no longer contagious. And Jana Kane, who I felt needed an apology for my previous lack of response. Morgan had just gotten out of the shower when the delivery guy from Gino's knocked at the door, my stomach rumbling at the thought of the impending feast.
What the hell?
My eyes bulged as I opened the door, Roman, the asshole Pierce, standing on my threshold, and worse than his unwelcomed presence, he was not holding any bags of food from Gino's.
Are you stalking me now?
My hands planted themselves on my hips, my sleep shorts and an old T-shirt not doing me any favors as I tried to be intimidating.
Yes, I'm stalking you, he deadpanned, because I have nothing better to do when I'm swamped on a case than to lurk on someone's doorstep.
I delivered the Lieberman files 2 months ago. I know where you live.
Oh, now with the sarcasm, he really did have his head up his ass. Then what are you doing here? I kept my body braced in the doorway. There was no way he was coming inside, not when he hadn't told me what he was doing here and what his intentions were. He rolled his eyes, looking bored.
I offered to check in on you, see how you're doing since the sudden onset of this mysterious stomach flu.
Lo? Morgan came up beside me, her hair still damp from her shower. It's fine, Morgan, I answered her, keeping my eyes on him. I didn't trust him for a second, and I knew exactly what he was capable of when I was distracted. I wouldn't be making that mistake a second time.
Hey, I have an order here for Lauren.
The Geno's delivery guy appeared behind Roman.
One of you, Lauren?
He looked around to the posse of people assembled at the front door. That's me. I raised my hand, taking a step outside the safety of my apartment to grab the food. Shit. And double shit. I'd left the money for the food inside on the coffee table. So I either called out to Morgan to get the cash while I guarded the door like a Doberman, or I backed myself slowly into the apartment while keeping my eyes on him like he was a leprechaun trying to steal my lucky charms. Both of those options had me looking like I belonged in a straitjacket.
Here. Roman took a money clip from the inside pocket of his suit jacket and handed the Geno's guy a 50. That cover it?
I can pay for my own dinner. I stopped short of stomping my foot as I called out over my shoulder, Morgan, grab the cash from the coffee table.
Standing guard at the door like a Doberman it was. Just take the money, he said to the bewildered delivery guy, grabbing the food from him before Morgan had a chance to return.
He turned to me and smiled.
She gets cranky when she hasn't eaten.
Oh, I was going to kill him. You! I lunged forward, Roman using the arm that wasn't holding the food to grab me around the waist.
I hate you so much, I breathed into his face.
Meanwhile, the delivery guy had grabbed the money Roman had given him and was already down the other end of the hall. The unmistakable, I don't get paid enough for this shit, heard before he disappeared.
Just calm down, Roman laughed as he wrestled me in his arms. You're going to hurt yourself.
Let me go, asshole. I wriggled, trying to find purchase as my feet dangled in the air. You're not welcome here. What the hell is going on out there? Morgan's voice boomed from the doorway. Both of you need to calm down, and Roman, put my sister down.
She didn't need a formal introduction. I'd fed her enough information to deduce that the good-looking jerk at the door was the same good-looking jerk I worked with and hated. Are you going to be civil?
He didn't let go, clinching me closer to his body.
Are you going to stop acting like a dick?
I fired back, unconcerned that I was wearing next to nothing, pressed up against the firm and toned body of Roman Pierce. Ironically, that included his dick. In another time or place, it might have been enjoyable. Not so much now. Okay, both of you, stop.
Morgan grabbed the food from Roman's hand, the one that wasn't currently wrapped around me.
Someone is going to end up calling the cops. Most likely, me.
I'm going to let you go, slowly, he whispered in my ear. Then, we're going to talk.
Fine. He may have thought I was agreeing, but I was doing anything but submitting. No, I was just pacifying him, luring him into a false sense of complacence because wriggling out of his bear hug had proven too difficult. I was out-muscled by his weight and his size in a physical confrontation, but mentally, I was still boss. The tension around my body started to ease with my feet finally feeling the floor under them. He seemed hesitant, but when he saw I didn't lash out, he unwrapped his arms.
Can we do this inside?
The last thing I wanted was Roman polluting the sanctity of my home. I was going to have to hit whatever room he entered with a heavy dose of Febreze and Lysol. Even then, I would probably have to sage the place and get a blessing from the Pope, just to be sure. But my options were limited, and the sooner we got this over with, the sooner I could self-medicate with pasta and garlic bread. Fine. I stepped aside, giving him room to enter my apartment. His huge body strode in with confidence, and if he was worried about me staking him through the heart, I'll admit it crossed my mind. He didn't seem concerned.
Hi, we haven't properly met. He grinned, sticking out his hand, trying to bewitch my sister. I'm Roman.
She smiled back, traitor, accepting his hand while juggling our food.
I'm Morgan.
Morgan, I need you to give me a minute alone with Roman. I closed the door behind me, wanting to expedite the process.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
He had the nerve to smile at me.
Don't thank me, asshole, I snapped, wanting to smack the smug right out of him as I narrowed my eyes. She's a nurse, so legally bound to save your sorry jerk-ass if I try to kill you. Trust me, I'm not doing you a favor.
He looked mildly amused, his lips twitching at the edges but had the sense not to laugh.
I'll take my chances, then.
I'm going into the kitchen. Morgan side-eyed Roman before turning to me. Lo, don't mess up the rug. I just had it steam cleaned.
She gave me a chin tip before disappearing. I didn't waste time facing him head on.
What is it that you want?
Why did you leave today?
He ignored my question, remaining standing, considering I hadn't invited him to sit.
And don't tell me it was the stomach flu. I know you're not sick.
You made me sick. You and your lies.
I told you I never lied to you.
He kept his voice controlled.
Look, I get you're pissed. Fine, be pissed.
He moved closer.
But you can't tell me that with the new evidence that my way wasn't the right way to go. Take your ego out of it. You know the best thing for our client was to settle the divorce.
The nerve of him, suggesting I was only arguing with him to be right?
Ha! He must be confusing me with himself. Take your ego out of it.
My finger pointed with accusation. If you were so convinced that it was the best way, why didn't you just tell me outright? Or give me a chance to argue my point?
You know, handle it like partners, I didn't add.
He could say whatever he wanted, but he wouldn't convince me that his intentions hadn't been deceitful.
His brow lifted, taunting me.
What did I tell you last night?
I'm sorry, when?
I leaned in, waving my arms around. When you were bullshitting about your 35 brothers, or when you pretended to be a person with feelings? I'm not sure what part of the conversation you want me to focus on.
At the car, Harper.
His eyes connected with mine. He had to remind me that last night hadn't just been talking, didn't he? Like it wasn't bad enough I couldn't eradicate the thoughts from my mind using self-hypnosis, I needed to get a refresher from the only other person who had been there.
I hated him. Really?
Really hated him.
You listen to me.
My skin heated as I jabbed a finger into his stupid, firm chest.
I allowed myself to believe that the person I was having dinner with was a true representation of himself. And because of that, I reciprocated, behaving in a manner I usually wouldn't with you. This is not a character flaw. It's called humanity, and I will not allow you or anyone else to make me feel bad about that.
Fire burned through my veins as I spewed out exactly what I was thinking. The corner of his mouth twitched, broadening into a smile.
You want to regret it, but you can't, can you?
Oh, no. He did not.
Did you hear anything I said, you big moronic jerk?
I told you to go home and text me, Lauren.
It was the first time he'd ever said my first name, stunning me into silence.
I made you promise to pick up your goddamn phone and send me a message.
So, you won a Nobel Peace Prize because you cared about me getting home safe?
My voice was quieter than it had been, but no less venomous.
Just an FYI, the big knife in my back kind of negates the kind gesture.
No.
He breathed, his shoulders squaring off as his body completely dominated the space, overwhelming me.
I assumed you'd check your fucking emails like you always do. Yes, I went behind your back, and yes, I didn't tell you about it because I knew you would fight me for the sake of fucking fighting. Because you get off on it the same as I do. But we needed to settle. It is a good deal for the client, and if Daniel had brought this to the table, you would have agreed.
I couldn't speak, the words getting lost in my throat as he stalked closer.
But I told you to message me because I assumed you would see the email.
He didn't shout, didn't need to. Each word cracked like a whip, demanding my full attention.
And then you would call me, and we'd fight about it, but ultimately you would decide I was right.
I shook my head, not willing to admit he might be right. You don't know that.
Yes, I do. Like I know I'm right about this.
His mouth was on mine before I had a chance to work out what was happening, his tongue parting my lips as hands found their way onto my ass. His hands on my ass. While he was kissing me. And I wasn't stopping him. A moan escaped my lips as he pressed against me, and it felt so, so good. Last night had been no fluke, as my skin felt like it was lit on fire, losing myself in the kiss, in his scent, in, oh my God, I needed to stop him.
What the hell are you doing?
Common sense decided to show up, and I pushed him away. Have you lost your damn mind?
No, I'm thinking very clearly.
His hands were still on my ass, and I hadn't asked him to move them. I should probably do that.
Now, Lauren, tell him to move his hands.
You said, last night, you... What the hell was I trying to say? Crap, his hands, that's right. And take your hands off my ass.
Oh, thank you, God.
His hands lifted, bringing them where I could see them as he held them up, but didn't move.
Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong about the case, and tell me I'm wrong about this.
He dared me, his mouth hovering dangerously close to mine. Conflict flared in me as my body and mind warred with itself. Our lips were so close, all I had to do was reach up and kiss him like I was dying to do. But I also wanted to grab a kitchen knife and find out for real if the large intestine was 5 feet long. He was tall, so maybe his would be longer. Although Morgan had said not to mess up the rug. Shit, none of this was helping. Get out of my apartment. I took a step back, moving out of the way of temptation and hopefully back to sanity. You need to go.
I'll go if that's what you want, Harper.
He was back to using my last name as he smirked.
Enjoy your dinner. We'll discuss this tomorrow.
I narrowed my eyes as I leered at him. We're not discussing shit. And here, I added, grabbing the money from the coffee table. I don't want you paying for my dinner. He looked down at my hand, but made no move to accept it.
Tell me, Harper, is it the paying for dinner or the kiss that you have the problem with? Because you didn't seem to have an issue with either last night.
The jerk had the nerve to smile.
Get out.
The words morphed into growl as I pointed to the door.
Get out of my apartment. See you in the morning.
He laughed, straightening his tie.
Say goodbye to your sister for me. And, by the way,
his eyes dropped down to my breasts.
That t-shirt leaves little to the imagination. Not that I'm complaining. They are even more spectacular than I imagined.
My hands fisted at my sides, and my fingernails dug into my palms. He wanted me to argue, to yell, to fight. So I didn't. I was too worked up to be embarrassed, not caring about what he could and couldn't see through the thin fabric of my t-shirt. Instead, I summoned all my will to keep my mouth shut, subliminally promising him that while he might be able to see my boobs, he'd never touch them again. Mentally, I had killed him 3 times by the time he'd reached the door. He looked over his shoulder, giving me one last look at his smug, ever-present grin. Then he left, closing the door with a forceful pull.
Well,
Morgan walked back in, forking her spaghetti and meatballs out of the foil takeaway container. Here I was thinking I would eat dinner and maybe watch some cable. Who knew I'd be walking into my very own telenovela at home? I rolled my eyes, my body still jangling with irritation even though he'd left. Oh, stop. He is just infuriating and I hate him.
Yeah, it was hard to tell from the kitchen.
She took another mouthful of dinner, chewing thoroughly before adding, I think kissing him back was probably not the way to go. A slap would have been more authentic. Maybe a knee to the groin. My head shook, breathing out a slow, regretful breath. I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't stand him. I can see literally no redeeming features. And yet, when he kisses me, I can't seem to stop. I wanted to be disgusted, to tell Morgan and myself that I'd hated the kiss and the way he'd touched me. But I couldn't. There was something wrong with me. I must have contracted some horrible infection that is eating away at the rational part of my brain. There had to be a logical explanation, because letting my libido be in control was too stupid for words. Or you're just attracted to him. She tried to reason, lowering the foil takeaway container to the coffee table and forgetting about her dinner. He's extremely good-looking, very tall, blonde, and hot. And he's not intimidated by you. She waved her fork around, continuing her diagnosis. Isn't that the reason why you claim it's hard to find a date? I scoffed, wondering if my sister hadn't contracted the brain-eating disease as well. I know you aren't suggesting I date him, because there isn't a chance in hell. Who said anything about dating him? She laughed. You said it yourself. You're not interested in dates and having a boyfriend. You'd have to spend too much time with them. She mimicked my previous relationship discussion. I'm just saying, I get the attraction, and I think him pushing your buttons is part of the appeal. Well, I still think I'm sick. I held on to the last shred of denial I could. The alternative was too horrible to even contemplate. Yes, you could be sick. She gave me a sympathetic nod. We can get some blood drawn if it makes you feel better, or you can admit that he is the first guy in a long time that has challenged you, and you find it sexy. And he is sexy. So, of course, you want to have sex with him. Those were not words I wanted to hear, especially not from my smart and rational sister. Maybe. I don't know. I shrugged, feeling exposed, and it had nothing to do with my lack of clothing. He's just so horrible. Yeah, she agreed, grabbing my hand, but at least you know what you're getting. Ugh, I groaned, closing my eyes even more confused than ever. Let's go eat dinner. I need to go over the case. So, you're going back tomorrow? Yes, I might be swinging wildly, alternating between hating him and being attracted to him. I still couldn't believe I was saying it out loud. But he's not going to stop me from doing my job. Besides, leaving him unchecked is dangerous. I have an obligation to my boss and the firm. Good for you. Morgan gave me a gentle punch in the arm. Now, let's go eat our free dinner. Chapter 10. I had stumbled on the definition of a true paradox. I hated Roman Pierce. I wanted to destroy Roman Pierce. But unfortunately, I wanted to sleep with him as well. It could only be explained because maybe desire and hostility were so closely related emotions that the mind got confused. I mean, I didn't study psychology, but I was almost positive they resided in the same part of the brain. Or, at least, that is what I told myself, and it made me feel better. So, while there was no feeling of affection, love, and romance, the opposite being more accurate, there was an undeniable attraction and lust that crawled through my body like a virus. See, I knew I was sick, and as much as I hated to admit it, Roman was right. Not about kissing me, although, ugh. About the Jana Kane case, and settling was probably, and I said that word begrudgingly, the best way to go. Oh, I still thought we had a fighting chance in court against both her soon-to-be ex-husband and Price Waters, who had very obviously gotten their hands on some insider information. But I also knew that she didn't want her new patent and product launch marred by legal red tape, which would drain her resources. Not to mention, Daniel had already filed a cease and desist against Price Waters, giving them a chance to politely bow out before he buried them in subpoenas. And after the patent was filed, anything they did with their ill-gotten information would mean serious fines and jail time. They were greedy, but not outright stupid. My previous day's stomach flu had seemed to miraculously disappear the next morning. As much as seeing Roman and dealing with the confusing and volatile emotions did not seem like a good time, I needed to get back to work.
Besides, the son of a bitch didn't get the satisfaction of running me out of town. Or the office, as the case was.
Ironically, I wasn't exactly sure what his intentions were when I hadn't seen him most of the day.
I hadn't been intentionally avoiding him, walking into the firm with my chin held high, ready to do battle. But after assuring Daniel I wasn't Typhoid Mary, and whatever nastiness that had struck me down yesterday was gone, easy to promise when you hadn't been sick in the first place, I hadn't seen Roman at all. And after a sleepless and sexually frustrated night readying myself for the showdown, I was actually disappointed. Instead of striding in with his devastatingly sexy smile, ego the size of Mount Rushmore, and taunting me with further seduction, he was hidden away in his tiny windowless office next door. No rolling of his eyes, quip of his lips, or calling me Harper. Nothing. And when I asked Daniel what had Roman so busy, casually, like I couldn't have been more bored if I tried, I'd been informed he was putting the finishing touches on the reconfigured timeline to send to opposing counsel. Which made sense, of course, but it could and should have been something we'd done together. What the hell was wrong with me? I should have been grateful, ecstatic that I didn't have to deal with his ridiculous arrogance for a while. But there were no feelings of gratitude as I rested my hand on the wall that separated our almost identical offices. Tension crackled through the sheetrock, the lingering memory of his kiss and touch gnawed at me like a sewer rat, no matter how much I didn't want it to. The gutter, with said sewer rat, was exactly where my mind was, as I imagined clawing through the wall and throwing him across his desk. And I reverted to my previous statement. What the hell was wrong with me? Trying to ignore what was obviously a serious case of psychosis, I returned to my desk and tried to do some work. I didn't like my chances. Excitement shot through my spine when a few moments later there was a knock at my door, and I knew it was him before he even walked in. My heart pounded as I lifted my head to look at him with fake disinterest.
What do you want? What do I want?
His eyebrow rose, locking the door behind him and taking the air from the tiny space with him.
Pushing you up against the wall and kissing you would be a good start. I haven't been able to get your amazing tits off my mind.
His eyes dropped to my breasts. My choice in outfit today might have been intentional. The white sheer fabric of my blouse clung to my body like a second skin and was completely inappropriate for work when I wasn't wearing a jacket. Which I wasn't currently while alone in my office. Except, I was no longer alone.
You're delusional and disgusting. I glared at him, pretending that heat hadn't spread across my skin the minute he'd walked in.
Am I? He moved closer, not looking convinced. Did you think about it last night, Harper? Think about the way I touched you and the way I could touch you?
His long legs had efficiently taken him from the door to where I was sitting in just a few steps. I pretended not to notice how strong his thighs looked stretching the fabric of his pants as he perched himself on the edge of my desk. Didn't give it or you a second thought. I dismissed him with a wave. I know you like to think you're a big deal, but you really aren't that amazing. I feel sorry for you.
Really?
He laughed, the light hitting his perfect blue eyes as he grinned.
And was it sympathy that made you moan in my mouth, or rub up against my cock?
He leaned forward, edging his mouth right near my ear.
Do you think if I stuck my hand up your skirt right now that it would be sympathy I felt? Or would it be something else?
My throat tightened as I squeezed my legs together. It wasn't just his hand I wanted him to stick up my skirt, and if he touched me, even just an innocent graze across my arm, I would probably explode. He was a demon, an incarnation of evil in a designer suit who could obliterate my hormones with a single sexy smile. I have work to do. I coughed, too obvious that he was getting to me.
Yes, you do.
He lowered his head, teasing my mouth with his hot breath.
Fuck, you drive me insane. I could no longer be held accountable as our mouths met in a thrilling, frenzied crash. We had already established that psychologically, I was compromised by the weird evil phenomenon and was powerless to fight it. And then there was that mouth of his, which was a problem all on its own, seducing me with kisses that could stroke my G-spot solely with his lips. I had either not had sex in such a long time I'd forgotten how it worked, or the man had sold his soul to the devil. Pretty sure at this point I didn't care which of those theories proved to be correct, as long as he kept kissing me. Or was I kissing him? Oh my God, I didn't care which, as long as it didn't stop. My body rose out of the seat as my fingers threaded through his slick blonde hair, and like a magnet finding north, I couldn't stop the contact. He palmed my ass, pushing me back against the wall, like he promised in the first place, and let his mouth do the devil's work. He was hard, his firm length straining against his pants as he bunched up the hem of my skirt and hooked my leg on his hip. I rocked against him, his erection stroking me through his pants and my underwear as his hands and lips explored me. It was the third time I'd been kissed by Roman. The third time, and I wasn't sure how it could get any better. It was like having sex fully clothed with the most banal parts of my body becoming highly sensitive erogenous zones. He could kiss my freaking finger and I'd probably come.
"Are you wet, Harper?"
He moved his mouth and sucked the exposed skin of my throat. "No, not at all," I lied, unable to stop my hands from grabbing his shirt and pulling him closer. "You do nothing for me."
"You're such a filthy liar."
His fingers traveled up my leg and edged at my panties.
"I bet I could touch you right now and you'd be soaked."
Breaths were sucked in and out in ragged pants, blistering need consuming me. If I am, it's because I'm thinking about someone else. My lie made him grin, teasing me further as he pushed my panties to the side.
"Is he doing this to you?"
A finger plunged into me without warning, filling me while his thumb circled my clit.
Harper.
I bucked against his hand, getting lost in the friction. He brought his lips to my ear and groaned.
"Whose hand are you fucking right now?"
A moan escaped my lips as I closed my eyes. "Not yours. Anyone but yours." So much deceit, and in a twisted way it just made it more exciting.
"I could make you come like this, Harper," he teased. "I thought about it all night, all fucking morning, too. Walking in here and making you come exactly like this."
"You can try, but I doubt you can." Lies, every single word so far from the truth. But I couldn't stop. I didn't want to stop. He grinned at every denial, my feigned indifference exciting him even more as he pushed in another finger, pumping me while his thumb continued to circle.
"Feel my fingers inside of you?"
He brought his mouth closer, biting my bottom lip with a taunt.
"Feel how good that feels? That's not even close to how amazing it would feel with my cock."
"It's not..." I'd lost the ability to lie, wanting to tell him some bullshit about barely feeling a thing or being more aroused at the DMV, but as I tried to form words, nothing came out.
"You're so close."
His mouth pressed against mine, and with a few more strokes he had me unraveling.
"Yes, God, yes."
They had been his words because I'd lost the ability to say my own. My fingers dug into his biceps as my hips bucked, every part of me shaking as waves and waves of euphoria washed over me.
"I expected you to be more vocal,"
he laughed, his mouth against my skin while I reined in my breathing.
"You're rarely at a loss for words."
"Maybe if you actually made me come, I'd be a little more excited." Our eyes locked, my fingers slithering down my body where his hand was still between my legs. "Better luck next time."
"Oh, you think I didn't feel that?"
He pumped inside of me one last time before pulling out his fingers.
"Tell yourself whatever you want, but I made you come, and you liked it."
"I can understand your confusion." I yanked down my skirt, steadying myself on my feet. "Jerking yourself off is a lot different than doing it to a woman. You might want to work on your technique, though."
He laughed, pulling out a tissue from the box of Kleenex I kept on my desk and wiped his hand.
If you want me to do it again, Harper, all you have to do is ask. But I have work to do, so it's going to have to wait until later.
Don't you get tired of embarrassing yourself? I scoffed, the tingle still echoing through my body. I'm not that desperate. And I didn't know why, but I wanted to kiss him again. To put my hand against his pants and feel him hard, stroke him slow, and tease him just like he teased me. But I kept my hands to myself, folding my arms across my chest as he followed my eyes down to his crotch. Shit, he'd seen me looking.
Maybe if you're good, I'll let you play with it later.
He shot me a wink.
Some of us have work to do first.
I shook my head, glaring at the door. You can leave any time, Roman. This is my office. He casually tossed the tissue that had been in his hand into the waste paper basket.
Oh, I know that. I was going in to tell you about your new assignment, but then we got sidetracked.
That was one hell of a sidetrack. I'd walked into a room before and been absent-minded, sometimes even forgetting why I'd gone in there in the first place. But I'd never been so distracted I'd stuck my hands down some man's pants and jerked him off without the intention of doing so. Not sure if that said more about him or me.
What new assignment? I asked, refusing to acknowledge the other part of his statement.
His lips twisted as he sunk his hands into his pockets.
ITP? Fiber optics acquisition? You lost the bet.
Are you serious right now? I struggled to wrap my head around the disbelief.
Of course I am. You didn't think I was going to let it go, did you?
He fought his grin.
You might want to get on it soon, though. It will take forever to go through the prospective candidates. ITP insists you do the vetting for them, and they've been looking for a while.
You are such a bastard. I tossed out the insult, wondering how only a few minutes ago I had let him touch me, wanted it, enjoyed it. He shrugged nonchalantly.
I've been called worse. I'll let you get to work. I have a ton of paperwork I need to get through myself.
Ignoring his still very visible erection and my irritation, he turned, unlocked the door, and left. Walked out of my office without another word. I fell back into my chair, my limbs still shaky. I wasn't sure if it was from the amazing orgasm or how much I seemed to like and hate him both at the same time. Even more troubling was that I was angrier at him for seeming to be unaffected by it all rather than at myself for my lack of judgment. I mean, obviously, he had a hard-on and he'd been aroused, but he'd walked in, walked out, and seemed more amused by it than anything else. I wanted to march into his office and do the same to him, put my hands on him, tease him to the brink of madness, and then tell him to go alphabetize the Roberson files. There were 6 generations of Robersons. It would take him a while. Instead, I shook my head, looking at the door he'd closed and wondering what else I could do to bug the hell out of him. And if that was how good I felt when he touched me, imagine how amazing the sex would be.
Ugh.
Torment him, sleep with him. Maybe they wouldn't have to be mutually exclusive. There was only one way to find out. Other than our brief interlude, we remained on our mutual respective sides of the wall. My new assignment, the ITP account, was boring as hell. They were just another tech company in Palo Alto looking for greater dominance and more muscle in an already saturated market. But the skinny jean, black frame-wearing 30-something CEO was a multimillionaire who was still making money when so many other companies had I-died. So, of course, when they said jump, we said, would that be a vertical or horizontal leap? Bored. Bored and agitated, and the day crawled along painfully slow. So, when the time display on my phone buzzed at 5 o'clock, I grabbed my handbag and jumped out of my desk chair like my office was on fire. I hesitated at his door just for a moment, bringing my ear discreetly to the wood and not entirely sure on what I was hoping to accomplish. The low rumble of his voice echoed through the room. He sounded like he was on the phone, but I could only make out every second word. My skin goosebumped as I heard footsteps come closer, pausing as he returned to his call.
I'm going to have to skip dinner tonight. I have no idea when I'll get out of here.
His voice was clear, like he was standing right there opposite me with only the door between us. I held my breath, my heart pounding as I waited to see if he'd continue.
Look, I know you're pissed, but I completely understand where she is coming from. My advice is sign the fucking thing, shove it in a drawer, and move on.
Huh? Sounded like business, but his language was more familiar than he normally would be with a client. And what about the dinner invitation he had to decline? My feet stood frozen in place, curious to hear more while still conscious about being discovered eavesdropping. At any moment, he could open the door, find me stalking him like a pathetic loser. Or someone we worked with might see, attracting their own set of questions. But instead of cutting my losses and leaving before either of those things happened, I decided the risk was worth it, and stayed.
Eric.
He said a name which happened to belong to the eldest of the Pierce Horde. The mystery of the caller had been solved. He was talking to his brother.
If she hadn't come to me, it would have been someone else. You know that while I don't always show it, I care about her, and I will make sure she does not get fucked over.
Her? What her? I assumed Roman had a steady stream of willing women. I'd often joked about his roster, and he'd alluded the same himself. He didn't date those women, though. He fucked them. Then he left, as he so elegantly put it. And in the year that we had been working together, he didn't seem to have been in any kind of relationship, let alone a serious one. But whoever he was talking about with Eric obviously wasn't one of these fuck toys. A feeling I didn't understand swirled in my lower gut. Jealousy? Anger? Did I have any right to care? But as irrational as any of it felt, I stayed, wanting more information.
As your fucking attorney, I'm telling you not to fight this.
His voice rose in agitation.
Do I need to remind you about the millions of dollars in assets?
What the hell? His brother was a millionaire? Who the hell was the man who hours ago had his hands in my pants teasing me to insanity? I knew nothing about him, literally nothing.
Fine, we can argue about this later.
Footsteps started again.
I'll stop by on the weekend before you fly out.
The rest of the conversation reduced to an inaudible garble. While I had initially been more concerned with my unresolved sexual frustration, my detective work raised more important questions. And before I kissed him again, or anything else, I was going to find out exactly who he was. Chapter 11. He was agonizingly close. All afternoon we had spent inches away from each other finalizing the details for the Kane divorce. After spending the day and a half in purgatory vetting companies for ITP, I was given a reprieve when Daniel asked me to help Roman wrap it up. The double entendre wasn't even funny. Neither of us spoke about what happened yesterday in my office. I hadn't waltzed in and given him a blowjob like I had fantasized about, nor had he bent me over my desk and had sex with me. I had more than one fantasy. In fact, there hadn't been any inappropriate touching at all. Neither of us had been miraculously cured, either. I watched as he raked his hand through his hair in frustration when I bent in front of him, the undone button of my shirt showing just enough cleavage. And I battled the distraction whenever he'd reach across the table, his big, strong body, a finger touched just out of reach. Neither one of us caved. It was like the ultimate game of sexual chicken, just waiting to see which one of us was the first to flinch. But it wasn't just my inability to resist him that I had to deal with. No, I had a more important issue to resolve. Information, namely who he was and what he was involved with. And I had still yet to find out who the woman was that he apparently cared about. I'd been up all night, tossing and turning, building my version of the truth. And my constructed reality wasn't pretty. Eric, the older brother, was some kind of underworld drug lord. I'd come to the hypothesis after an extensive online search. There were no investment bankers, property developers, or any other kind of businessman named Eric Pierce that I could find. It would also explain the whole Hart and Vine connection, too. It would make sense that someone with ties to illegal activity would need some legitimate businesses to launder their money. And, obviously, Roman was the middleman who made that all happen.
Having a lawyer as part of this syndicate made perfect sense, and one that was related to you by blood was even better. The other brothers were probably involved, too, their roles in the intricate crime web not yet ascertained. And the woman? She was Roman's secret wife. Probably of South American origin with unmatched beauty, she had been married off young when her father hadn't been able to pay a debt. She despised him, didn't we all?